The show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on today's program, we'll be focusing on music by Mozart and Richard Strauss, two wind pieces of theirs, the famous Grand Partita of Mozart, and a piece that Strauss called a sonatina, which is really a little symphony for 16 wind instruments, nicknamed the Happy Workshop, and we'll talk about why it's nicknamed that. And we'll be hearing samples from both pieces. The reason we're focusing on it is that they will be the program on the closing concert next Monday of the Allerton Music Barn Festival at Allerton Park in Monticello, which opens tomorrow night. And I'll also have some tickets to give away for that concert, so I hope you'll listen certainly for the conversation, definitely for the music, and in case you might be one of the lucky two people who will have pairs of tickets to hear that concert. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was music by Mozart for winds. His Serenade number 12, Kirchel 388, if you keep track of those things. It's a C minor serenade. And we heard a performance by the winds of the Orchestra of the Champs-Élysées, conducted by Philippe Hervéga. And that is not the piece that we're going to be focusing on, but I thought, well, it's Mozart and a reasonable introduction to the piece we will be talking about, which also happens to be on this recording, and we have another one that I pulled out of our library, of the Grand Partita, or Grand Partita, as you'll usually see it, Grand Partita, G-R-A-N, not as in somebody's grandmother, but as in a rather great and large partita for winds. I didn't count how many winds, but we have another piece that we're talking about today that is for 16 winds by Richard Strauss. Both of those will be on next Monday's concert at the Allerton Music Barn Festival called Evening Serenade with Mozart and Strauss, and also with conductor Robert Rumbelow, who will be leading the proceedings, and among the performers from the University of Illinois faculty, along with some graduate students and guests, is the new horn professor at the University of Illinois School of Music, Bernard Scully. Both Rob and Bernard are joining us on the program today. Thanks very much for coming in.
Of course. Thanks for inviting us,
Kevin. Thanks for having us.
And I said to Rob on the way walking down here that he always dresses so well for radio, and in full suit and tie and white shirt, and the rest of us are, well, we're dressed for radio.
But we'll be dressing down a little bit for Allerton. It's a little bit more informal. It's a great way for people to commune with the music and musicians out there. So you'll see me not in a tie if you happen to come out to the Allerton Festival.
Yeah, well, I hope that many people will. We'll give at least two people a chance to go out at no charge to yourself and one other person that you can take with you. I've got two pairs of tickets to give away to that concert later on in the hour. So listen up, and so you don't miss your chance. So let's talk about these two pieces. Rob, did you determine the program? Was the program handed to you, or?
Well, it was basically just a conversation I had with Carl Kramer. We were thinking about next year after we had finished up last year's Allerton Festival, and I said, you know, I'd love to do the Grand Partita with the faculty. And he said, that's great. And I said, also, you know, there's so many great Strauss pieces. We ought to be able to pull in some of the Strauss wind music. And, of course, this is very very important to Carl, because a lot of his research and his background in terms of musicology surrounded Strauss. And so, of course, he had terrific immediate ideas. And this particular work is one that I hadn't conducted before. I'd worked with the Opus 4, worked with the Opus 7, Strauss Windworks, but this is from the Happy Workshop. It's a large symphony for 16 winds, as you mentioned. A wonderful piece, and I've known it for years. I've had the score for years, but never had the opportunity to work with musicians, and I look forward to the collaboration. It should be wonderful.
You refer to the Opus 4 and the Opus 7. The Opus 4 is the Serenade.
The Opus 7 is the Serenade, which actually predates the Opus 4. The Opus numbers are backwards.
Oh, I had some reason for coming up with that. And the Opus 4 is a suite for winds.
It's a suite, right.
Of a similar size. Mm-hmm. But this is the big one. It's odd that he called... There's two of these symphonies. You use the term
right,
symphony.
Right, yeah,
and
he also calls them sonatas as well.
Yeah,
sonata 1 and 2.
Or sonatina, which makes even less sense, because that's a little sonata. Well, these are not little pieces.
No, indeed. They're of the breadth of many full-blown symphony. Or symphonic works, and of course, that's about 40 minutes or so with the four movements. And even the Mozart, especially for its time, was extraordinarily long. Its breadth is that of his string quartets or of his symphonies. In fact, it takes about 50 minutes, 45 minutes to perform the entire Grand Partita. We're doing select movements so that the first half will be about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, and then of course all of the Strauss on the second half.
Oh, you're not doing the whole Grand Partita.
I wish we could. But we were trying to make sure that the show was something that the audience wouldn't start straining their backs after a while. So
oh, they have comfortable seats in the Allerton Music Barn, I think. Well, and Bernard Richard Strauss. I mean, we'll start with some music of Mozart. But Richard Strauss has a particular affinity for the horn, which of mm-hmm. course is your instrument, for various reasons. Why don't you give us some of what you know about that?
Well, Strauss grew up in possibly the most eminent of horn families in the 1800s. His dad was the horn player of Wagner's orchestra, Franz Strauss. And so he grew up listening to horn music from when he was a baby. And many of the themes that we know, for instance, Till Eulenspiegel, the opening theme, the horn theme, was actually one of his dad's warm-ups.
Nice warm-up.
Yeah, when he first put it on paper, because it's so hard to read because of the 6/8 off rhythm, his dad took one look at it and said, "This is impossible." And Strauss said, "Well, it's your warm-up. You do it every day." He said, "Oh, I guess I see that."
So he actually just kind of wrote out his dad's warm-up.
Pretty much. It was sort of a natural horn warm-up where the dum-bum-bum-bum, there's a stop note. So it was a pretty common type of warm-up for the day.
Well, let's clarify. You said natural horn warm-up. That doesn't mean a natural warm-up for the horn.
It means a warm-up for horn with no vowels.
Yeah, so, the natural horn.
Yeah, I suppose I should clarify that.
Well, you know, not everybody is into the horn player's lingo, you know, in our listenership.
And his dad, Franz, actually wrote lots of music for the horn. We have a huge library of it. He wasn't as eminent of a composer as Richard. And in fact, his compositional style was really one that harkened back to Schubert and Mendelssohn and the more traditional romantic composers. And he was not a big fan of Wagner's music at all, even though he played in Wagner's orchestra. In fact, the old saying was, you know, Wagner loved him, he hated Wagner.
We're talking about Franz here.
Franz, right? Yeah, Franz. And so, you know, Franz would write this music that's, you know, very lovely and kind of quaint and fairly simple. And then Richard began his quest with the new chromaticism, and much to the dismay of his father, Franz. So.
And so what did Richard think of Wagner's music? I can't
loved
recall.
It. Mm.
He did.
He was a big fan, yeah.
Uh-huh, and how did his dad feel about that? We probably don't know.
One of those father-son things, I think. You know?
Yeah, you tolerate it because it's your kid. Well, Richard Strauss wrote so much music, he wrote a couple of horn concertos, mm-hmm. beginning and end of his life, which are wonderful pieces.
Yep.
I always wanted to play the second one. I never got a chance to do that.
And the second one was actually written during the same time as these sonatines.
Right. And the Symphony for Winds actually is also a tribute to Mozart, which creates a link in our program.
Mm.
Tribute to this particular piece?
You're right. It is from a Happy Workshop. It's subtitled, and it's also subtitled in honor of Herr Mozart.
And I did count up. Looks like 13 instruments in the
Grand Partita.
In the
right.
Grand Partita, and that's there. That includes pairs of oboes, clarinets, unusually pairs of basset horns, which are clarinet-like instruments.
Which Mozart loved.
That's the Mozart connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he wrote his clarinet concerto for a basset clarinet. Is that different from a basset horn?
With that actual range isn't a contemporarily produced instrument right now. So it's not the basset horn. It was a separate instrument with its own range, but it's very close to the basset horn.
And then a couple of bassoons, contrabassoon, which is the big or contrabass. What are you using?
The grand partita, we're using contrabass. And on the original manuscript score, which is actually housed in the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C., I've had the pleasure of seeing it and actually touching it and looking through it. It actually just says contra. And many musicologists believe, as do I, that Mozart was aware of the double bassoon or the contrabassoon, but in fact hadn't seen one yet. And so when he wrote this piece in 1780, the idea was that he wanted to allow for contra instruments, instruments of that register, to be able to play this part. So it can be covered with a contrabassoon. We're covering it with a double bass, which is more standard for the grand partita. And it specifically is probably what Mozart was writing for at the time.
Well, we sort of hopped our conversation around, and I was thinking, well, maybe we were talking about Strauss, so we better start with the Strauss. But now we're on to the Mozart, so I'll stick with Plan A.
Okay.
And here is the opening of the opening of the grand partita. I assume you're doing this movement?
Indeed.
And it's otherwise officially known as the Serenade for 13 Winds, Kirchhoff 361. In this performance, we hear members of the Orchestra of St. Luke's, conducted by Sir Charles McCarris, on Live and Local. We heard the opening movement of the Serenade for 13 Winds in B-flat by Mozart, best known under its nickname, the Grand Partita. And we heard a performance of by the members of the Orchestra of St. Luke's, led by Sir Charles McCarris, here on Live and Local. My guests on this portion of the show are Robert Rumbelow, who will be conducting a performance of most of that piece next Monday on the Allerton Music Barn at the Allerton Music Barn Festival in Monticello. It's part of a program called Evening Serenade, Mozart and Strauss, and we'll hear in just a few moments, the opening movement of the Strauss piece that's on that program. We also have with us today Bernard Scully, who is the new horn professor at the University of Illinois School of Music, who will be one of the performers in that concert. Support for today's broadcast on Live and Local today comes in part from 40 North, 88 West, Champaign County Arts, Culture, and Entertainment Council, accepting nominations for the 6th Annual ACE Awards, honoring those who have made outstanding contributions to Champaign County's arts, culture, and entertainment. Deadline is today, September the 1st, and can be made. That doesn't make any sense. Deadline is to September 1st, and nominations can be made at 40north.org. I mentioned that we've got some tickets to give away to this concert next Monday, and I will do that as soon as we start the next piece of music. So please don't make a phone call until then, but I will give a pair of tickets to the first caller at the number that I will give you in very shortly. The Happy Workshop is the nickname given to the second of the two symphonies for winds, or sonatinas. I'm trying to remember why he calls it that. Because that was his name Workshop.
Well, absolutely. And he has another one called the Invalid's Workshop, which is the first sonatine.
I think I know the answer to this.
This is a test.
All right. Do I get to call the audience or something?
Somebody in the audience
call, please.
They'll call and correct you.
No, I think it's because the first one, both these pieces were written either right at the end of World War II or right after it, right after the war. And a lot of his music at this time, like the Metamorphosis, for instance, takes on this extremely nostalgic, dark emotionally turbulent character, because that's the state he was in, because he had actually agreed to be part of the Nazi party, you know, during that whole time in the World War II, and he felt very regretful for that. So I think the Invalids Workshop was, he felt like an invalid, like he was basically almost a shut-in. And I think the Happy Workshop is he reached a point at which he was maybe more himself again. You know, I think that's the reason, but I could be mistaken. Maybe someone could call in and correct me on that one.
What do you know, Rob?
That was going to be my take on it as well, I have to say. I think it's more of a state of mind. But, I've just always known the two as the Happy Workshop and Invalids Workshop. And yeah.
I've always thought, oddly, the Invalids Workshop piece always sounded a little happier than the other one, at least my recollection of it. Though I can't admit to having actually sat through both pieces from beginning to end. So, you know, classical radio host, I'm sorry to say, often sample beginnings and ends of things.
Sure. Being a 40-minute piece, that would take the bulk of your show.
That's right. That's right. We don't get to play really long pieces anymore. And who knows what's going to happen when we start streaming our shows online starting in January, because there's all these kind of crazy restrictions for copyright and so on that will make it very difficult to actually play complete works like this. Mm. And I don't know how that's going to work out, but we're trying to sort those things out. Apparently, believe it or not, apparently that's somewhat in the hands of Congress.
Interesting.
Which doesn't bode well, if you ask me, for something actually getting accomplished. Well, let's hear part of the opening movement. It's quite long, from the Strauss piece, the Happy Workshop, or the Second Sonatina, or Second Symphony for Winds. And here's the phone number if you want to have a go at getting a pair of tickets for that concert next Monday. You got to be available, of course, for it. It's next Monday night, Labor Day, 8:30 in the evening at Allison Park in Monticello. And our number here in the studio is 217-244-2628. 217-244-2628. Here's music by Strauss. It's the Munich Wind Academy, conducted by Wolfgang Sabalisch. Well, there you've got a good dose of the opening movement, about half of it, actually, by Richard Strauss, his Second Sonatina for Winds, or Symphony for Winds. It goes by both names. The nickname from the Happy Workshop, and that was Strauss's own nickname. The Munich Wind Academy in this recording was conducted by Wolfgang Sawallisch, who is the former music director of the Philadelphia Orchestra, and you heard it here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'll have another pair of tickets to give away to the concert on Monday night that will feature, it will contain only the two big serenades for winds that we're talking about on today's show, Mozart's Grand Partita and the Strauss Happy Workshop. And they will be played by members of the University of Illinois School of Music wind faculty and also a number of guest colleagues. One of the guests is the guy who is the outgoing, or he has gone out, horn professor at the University of Illinois, and one of the newest member is the, I was going to say incoming, you have already come in, horn professor Bernard Scully, who's on the show with us today, along with conductor Robert Rumbelow. And we actually, you brought along some samples of your recorded work. It's great. It's great to meet you, and I look forward to hearing you at some point during the school year. You played in the Canadian Brass for a while. How long were you in that group?
I was in there for 3 years.
And what got you in, and what made you decide to go off then to the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra? Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I mean, I got in because I felt flattered. They actually called me. They said, "We have an opening. Would you like to come audition?" And I thought, it's one of those things you don't really expect, you know, this group that you kind of grew up listening to. So I went and I auditioned for the quintet, and they hired me. But it was great. It was 3 years of touring and recording and doing, you know, teaching everywhere. It was really a wonderful experience. You know, the touring was one thing that maybe was getting a little hard on me just because I have a family. And so then I wasn't really planning on leaving the group, but the opportunity to audition for the SPCO came up, and that actually happened to be the place where my wife and I are both from. And we had just had our first daughter, Ellie, and we thought, well, yeah, we'll give it a shot. I mean, if I'm going to leave this group for something, maybe it can be this. We can go home, I can play in this great orchestra. And it turned out they offered me the job, and I did that for 3 years. And so that's kind of, and then I'm here. So.
And that, you were the principal horn with the St. Paul? Mm-hmm. Did they do principals for all the positions, or do they rotate?
Yeah, for the wind positions, definitely. I think the strings, they were there's more of a rotation involved. But for the principal, for the winds, they're definitely a principal. And a lot of the second players would play, you know, principal at times. And we did a lot of chamber music, so people would play things one and apart. So.
And it's a fabulous orchestra, of course, Canadian Brass, wonderful group. And we have one of the trumpet players, long time, well, one of the founding trumpet players, Ronnie Rum, who is also on faculty.
Yeah.
And he still plays with the group sometimes, right?
Occasionally. They've had him back a couple times. And even since I've left the group, I've played a few times. When the current horn player couldn't play, it's nice. They're the kind of people and the kind of group that likes to maintain relationships with their players. And of course, and when I was in the group, Ronnie actually came back and played. It was my first time ever playing with him and really meeting him after seeing this person, you know, for all my younger years. I think he was the first brass player, like professional brass players I ever saw, like on a video.
Yeah.
You know, we were in band, and they play the video for us, and there's the guy with the beard and mustache and Carnival of Venice.
He has a very distinctive look about
him. Yeah, you know, so, I mean, it's amazing for me now to be working with him in this capacity. So, and he was the founder of that group.
And he'll be featured on Sunday morning's concert at the Allerton Festival, the All Bach program, one of the featured performers in the cantata Jochset Gott. That's going to be at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, All Bach, which we talked about on Monday's program. By the way, I might as well mention that on tomorrow's show, Live and Local, we'll be featuring the star, I guess we can call him that, of Friday night's concert at Allerton, who is jazz trumpeter John Faddis. He'll be on the show along with normally we know him as a sax player here on faculty, is Chip McNeil, but he's going to be playing keyboard, I think, with John in our studio tomorrow. And then that recital is, that concert is Friday night. And I'll be kind of hosting that, I guess, or at least introducing that program, which means I need to find a little bit more about John Faddis before tomorrow and certainly by Friday. Our program today on FM 90.9 is made possible by the University of Illinois School of Music, presenting the Allerton Music Barn Festival, September 2nd through 6th at Allerton Park. For more information, visit www.allertonmusicbarn.com. We're going to hear Bernard Scully now himself in performance of a piece. You know, he came in and said, you know, one of the pieces on is this piece by Dukas called Villanelle. I said, yes, I know that. I used to play it.
Little did I know.
Very, very difficult. I've told the story every once in a while because I really kind of like this story because I'm not all that fond of this particular player. But when I was a kid, my mom took me to the Kennedy Center to hear Barry Tuckwell play a solo recital. And this was on the concert. And this is probably sour grapes later because I went to, you know, behind, backstage afterwards and, you know, to get his autograph and everything. And he was really quite unfriendly, I thought. And I was a little bit hurt. But at the end of the piece, which has a rather, you know, tricky high note, very last note, well, next to last, third to last note, he splatted it all over the wall. And I thought, well,
you know. It happens to the best of us.
It happens to the best. That's right. But I assume since you're giving me this recording, it didn't happen to you in this case.
Not this time.
Here we go. It's the Villanelle of Paul Dukas, Bernard Scully. And who's your pianist?
A gentleman named Vincent Fu. He's a person associated with the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
A great piece. Here we go on Live and Local. Thank you. Villanelle, the name of that piece by Paul Dukas, and the performer was Bernard Scully, who is the new horn professor at the University of Illinois School of Music, and he's sitting in our studio with us right now. He's going to be one of the horn players, along with three others, on next Monday's concert at the Allerton Music Barn Festival, an evening serenade with Mozart and Strauss. And tell us again the name of the pianist who was with you on that performance.
Vincent Fu.
And it sounded great.
Thanks.
And that's a really difficult piece.
It is.
Really gratifying. As soon as you hear the first chords, you know, I was taken back years and years ago when I used to actually be able to play that piece, but never anything like as the way you just played.
It was the first piece that I ever heard on a recording, a Dennis Brain's recording. Yeah. I just was captivated. It's like the beginning of my horn journey.
There you go. Well, it's a great way to start. Well, it's going to be a wonderful concert next Monday, I think. And thanks, Rob, for coming up with the program. And these pieces typically conducted?
Typically so. I mean, I've seen it most of the time conducted, but then again, when I go to a concert, it's often a professional concert, and they have such a short time to do something. But I know a lot of groups. In fact, Bernard was in a group with St. Paul that wasn't conducted sometimes?
Oftentimes.
And so I'm sure that it just takes a little bit different kind of rehearsal aspect and perhaps a little bit more time to put together if you were going to perform it without conductor.
We do have a recording of, which one did I play of part of the Strauss? So I guess I played the one Wolfgang Sawallisch conducted. We have one here in my hand with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, mm-hmm. which always plays without conductor.
Indeed.
I mean, that's quite a piece to do without, I would think.
So many decisions to be made, a large undertaking. I think it would be time-consuming, but also rewarding to have that kind of dialogue within the ensemble.
How many rehearsals do you get for this piece?
We're doing the performance is on Monday, so we start rehearsing Sunday, the day before.
Thanks for conducting us, Rob.
Therefore, we will use a conductor.
It's sort of like, you know, you start rehearsing on Sunday and you'll keep rehearsing until the concert.
Well.
So in other words, what, a couple of rehearsals?
We'll have two rehearsals on Sunday and basically sort of a run through on a Monday morning.
These guys are professionals.
Indeed.
Don't try this at home.
Do not try this at home. Yeah.
I'm going to take a moment of a break here. I didn't do this yesterday because I forgot. We try to give an events calendar generally on this program. The show is live and local, by the way. It's your connection to local music and more. And a reminder that on tomorrow's show, we'll have another feature from the Allerton Music Barn Festival with jazz trumpeter John Faddis, joined by Chip McNeil. And we'll have some live performing and also talking about Friday night's concert of jazz at the Allerton Barn. Let's see. Today is Wednesday, the 1st of September, and that means that there's some jazz happening in Normal. It's the Brian Chobin, I think it's his quintet. It's at Fat Jack's in Normal tomorrow night at 5:30. Some blues also. Kilbourne Alley Blues Band has its weekly gig at D.R. Diggers in Champaign. That's tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Donnie Heitler plays solo jazz piano every Wednesday night at the Great Impasta in Urbana at 6 o'clock. And it's the Cherry Jam and Pygmalion Music Festival presenting, not sure I know how to say this person's name. Is it Roki Erickson with Aukerville River? At the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. And then Cherry Alley. I think we're combining two different events here somehow on this calendar. Cherry Alley features one of those performers at 11:30. Some Polish folkloric music and dance. That's its 11:30. Oh, that's virtually over. Well, never mind about that one. Tomorrow at I need to talk to somebody about putting this calendar together because it's not altogether intelligible. Well, let's look at Gino's Place in Champaign. It's Blues and Brews. It's an open microphone jam session tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And then in Goodfield, Illinois, at Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater, a show called Lie, Cheat, and Genuflect, which I believe is a comedy, as you would expect from that name. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 6. And then they have Sunday brunch time show starting at around noon. Support for today's programs on FM 90.9 comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. And you're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYLL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we thank all of our listeners who do support this program with your financial contributions. It's how we're able to be here. Well, I'm also very grateful to Bernard Scully and Rob Rumbelow for joining us on today's Live and Local program. Should be a great concert next week. You mentioned, Rob, that you're doing most, but not quite all, of the serenade by Mozart, known as the Grand Partita, but it does include the last movement.
Indeed. The Rondo is extremely compelling, exciting, and it's a great way to finish up the first half of our performance.
Well, it's such a wonderful piece of music, and one of the things that makes it exciting, actually, is the fact that there are four horns in this ensemble.
Right. You know, Mozart wrote for pairs of horns, and the serenades were conceived with idea of pairs of instruments in general and the way that they're used in pairings. And this is one of the first times we see four horns around used together. He does conceive them as two pairs of horns, and that's sort of, in terms of orchestration, that's the way around it. And so even though we see a four-horn section as precursor to future orchestration, in fact, he's looking at it as two sets of horns.
And the you and Thomas Jostlein, who was the just departed horn professor here, and who are the other horn players? Are they students at the university?
No, one is I believe Thomas's wife Tricia, and she's a very fine horn player. And then also Kristen Thielander, who is was a horn professor at the University of Iowa. She may teach horn there some now, but she is also the head of the school of music there, I think.
Really?
So
okay, so all-star cast of sorts.
I think so.
In the horn section, and certainly in the rest of the sections from the University of Illinois School of Music faculty. It is the School of Music that puts on this show with various guests, and it's a wonderful festival. For more information, go to allertonmusicbarn.com, and I've got another pair of tickets to give away to that concert. It's next Monday night at 8:30. In Allerton Park in Monticello, Mozart and Strauss. And that phone number is area 217-244-2628, 217-244-2628. I'll give this pair to the second caller at that number. And here's the last movement from Mozart's Grand Partita. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for joining us on the show.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.